Amen, Lord. The heavenly vision and vanquishing conversion of the Apostle Paul. Amen. We have about the three Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Let's read it again. Roman numeral 3. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? We need to emphasize me. How about Roman numeral 4, which also verses. Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. The key word here is Jesus. I am Jesus. Lord, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, who you persecute. The earlier verse is about, why are you persecuting me? And then this verse is talking, I am Jesus. Roman numeral 5 is Acts 9:15. We'll read the Roman numeral 5 again. This man is a chosen vessel to me. The critical word here is vessel. This man is Paul, is a chosen vessel. The chosen vessel. Amen. In this great heavenly vision, there are three critical verses. The first verse, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? This word, me. Then the Saul asked, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus. I am Jesus. The word Jesus. And then Roman numeral 5, this verse, the Lord moved Ananias to lay his hand on Saul. And Ananias said, this man has been persecuting us. But the Lord Jesus said, this man is a chosen vessel. He's a chosen vessel. These are three critical verses. Let's look at the subject, and then there are totally seven Roman numerals. How about we read the subject of this message, the heavenly vision and vanquishing conversion of Apostle Paul. One is regarding the vision, vanquishing conversion. Let's read Roman numeral 1. The heavenly vision of Paul's completing ministry must be seen by us, and this vision must be renewed in us day by day. Amen. This message is kind of unique. The emphasis is the vision. This is a heavenly vision. And also the vanquishing conversion of Apostle Paul. This is Paul's experience. But the very first Roman numeral, we talk about we. And he has what need to be seen by us. Talk about us. The brothers has kind of have this burden. Kind of put the conclusion here. Don't think this just Paul's vision. This is something that need to be seen by us. By us. This completing ministry of Paul is a heavenly vision. Almost like a conclusion of this message. This is not just for Paul. It has nothing to do with us. No. But this needs to be seen by us. It should become our vision. Roman numeral 2. Another. So when Saul of Tarsus was on the way to Damascus, a heavenly vision came to him, and this vision revolutionized him. This is like a fact. This is like a statement. Normally, this should be the first Roman numeral. When Saul of Tarsus was on the way to Damascus, this heavenly vision revolutionized him. Brothers, sisters, when you look at the subject again, this is the heavenly vision and vanquishing conversion. We need to see that conversion, his conversion. We need to see how this conversion happened. We need to experience his conversion. The Saul of Tarsus have seen this vision, then he has been revolutionized. This has revolutionized him. And then we already talked about earlier about the three Roman numerals, 3, 4, and 5. This three verse. And Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Emphasize the word me. And then the Roman numeral 4, who are you, Lord? Well, I'm Jesus whom you persecute. This name Jesus means a lot. The me, in the previous point about me, is not a great me. It's a me that has gone through the process. This Jesus is a great name, has a lot of riches regarding this name. And then Roman numeral 5, and this is a chosen vessel, the word vessel. This man is a chosen vessel to me. Vessel is an important word in the New Testament. There's a development of this word. There's a spiritual significance. In Paul's writing, we have seen many times about the matter of vessel. Roman numeral 6, the central vision of the Apostle Paul's completing ministry is God in us as our content, Christ as the mystery of God, Jesus, and the church as the mystery of Christ, me. The Roman numeral 6 talk about Paul. The two words here, completing ministry. You talk about ministry, and this is Paul's ministry, which is also a completing ministry. Apostle Peter started the ministry, but Paul complete this ministry. Amen. And the other word is central vision. Well, we need to pay attention to central vision. In this completing ministry, there is a central vision, which is God in us as our content. We are the vessel to contain God. And then Christ as the mystery of God, which is this Jesus. This Jesus is Christ as the mystery of God. Later, we'll see more later. Then, regarding the church. Church is the mystery of Christ. This is regarding the great me. Me. Me is no longer a singular. It's Christ. It's the church. It's the body, which is a great I, great me. Roman numeral 7 emphasize the Lord's recovery today is the recovery of the central vision. The same two words. The central vision of Paul's completing ministry. We need to remember these two terms. Central vision and completing ministry. This central vision is important to us, and it should become our vision. After we read Romans 7, we can go to Romans 1. Romans 1 almost like a conclusion. They try to change our concept. This is not just Paul's ministry vision, but this vision should be seen by us. And this vision needs to be renewed in us day by day. Day by day. I think after we see the major point, we will see the burden. This is the Paul on his way to Damascus, that he has seen this heavenly vision. He has been has a conversion. We need to see what Paul has seen, the vision seen by him that need to be seen by us. We need to be also experience such a conversion. In this central vision, there are three key sentences. That's in Romans 3. Saul, why are you persecuting me? Also that I am Jesus, and this man is a chosen vessel to me. The three verses we all need to remember. You have all the outline with the verses reference. In the beginning, we have Acts 9 to 19, and then 22, 6 to 16, and then 26. Now, three portions here in chapter 26. Three portions are speaking the same thing, but these are the important revelation. Brothers told us if one thing has been repeated three times, it's very important. The very first time in chapter 9, this is Luke, was Spirit move Luke to record such a record. Luke wrote this. Then in the portion in chapter 22, from 6 to 16, this is Paul, and he has speak to the Jews in Jerusalem. There he was persecuted, he was arrested, and he has plea to the Jews. And he spoke this in Hebrew. He spoke this to Hebrews, the Jews. And he was, and then the last portion in chapter 26. And he was in, Zechariah. And he was speaking to King, Agrippa. And he's speaking to the Gentiles. He spoke to the Gentiles. And in the house of Cornelius, they speak to he was talking to the Gentiles and speak about his experience in the same book, and then the same fact was repeated three times, and apparently this is very important. In the life study of Acts, the Brother Lee also state that Paul, when the Lord Jesus was crucified, and he, there was something stated that he's the king, and he wrote it in three different languages. There are three languages kind of meaning three testimony. And Paul here in this case also he's the Hebrew. He's the Hebrew of Hebrews. He also have the Roman politics. He's a Roman citizen. So he has, he's the citizenship. He's also related to Roman politics. He also, born in, he grew up in Tarsus, which is a very cultured city. He's under, the very famous teacher. And he has the Hebrew, the religious background. He has a Roman politic, and he also have the Greek culture background. He also have the Hebrew religion as the background. But these three portions speak of the same thing. The brothers listed all these verses. This is a very important matter that's been repeated three times. To Paul, this is his conversion. And to us, is this important too. I think we've seen all the seven Roman numerals. How about this? We'll come back to Roman numeral 1. It's almost like our application. But Roman numeral 2, we're going to start from here. When Saul of Tarsus was on the way to Damascus, a heavenly vision came to him, and this vision revolutionized him. There are three points. Let's read the A for together. After he saw the vision, he became blind, unable to see anything, and impotent, unable to do anything. A blessed blindness comes upon those who are met by the heavenly vision. The small point one. Brothers, after this blindness comes upon us, there will be the inner anointing and the inner shining, the inner enlightening. We who were once God's enemies will be brought into the feast of the New Testament ministry to be saved in Christ's life. Sisters, too. Inner vision will increase more and more and will revolutionize the way that we serve the Lord. This vision will control us to do everything by the Spirit, in our spirit, and in the body, through the body, and for the body. Amen. Point B. Together, for 3 days Saul did not see anything, and he did not eat or drink anything. All he could do was pray. Brothers, one, under the inspiration of the essential spirit, his only interest was to pray in order to know the significance of what he has seen and heard. Sisters, too, it is likely that as Saul was praying, vision after vision and revelation after revelation came to him concerning Christ as the embodiment of God, the mystery of God, and the church as the body of Christ and the ministry of Christ. Three altogether. Each crucial point of Paul's vision, recorded in Acts 9, should not merely be a teaching to us, but a vision that we see on the heavenly television. Point C, altogether. In our reading of Acts 9, we need to see the heavenly vision concerning the three items, me, Jesus, and the chosen vessel. Amen. Let's look at Roman 2. This is stating the facts. Saul have seen this vision. Has this vision revolutionized him? Let's look at the facts. After he saw the vision, then he became blind. And he also became impotent, unable to do anything and see anything. And then a blessed blindness, there's a talk about blessed blindness, comes upon him. This is a special term, blessed blindness. Point one, after this blindness comes upon us, there will be the inner anointing, the inner shining, inner enlightening. And then we were, once God's enemy, will be brought into the feast of New Testament ministry. In the second point, talk about this inner vision will increase more and more. more and more. And also this vision will revolutionize us. Also, this vision will control us to do everything by the Spirit. And also do this in the body. And in spirit, in the body, through the body, and for the body. In this point A, we talk about he has seen this vision, and he became blind. He became impotent. After he seen this vision, he became blind. He cannot do anything. He stopped. He has to stop to do anything. He's become unable to do anything. Before he was became blind, he was very powerful. He's running around. He has testified in chapter 9 at the beginning. He's the one that the threatening, breathing threatening. He's still breathing and threatening. That means he's been doing it for a long time. He's murdered those disciples of the Lord and went to the high priest to ask for letters. And he said that I persecute those are on this way. Before he's been seeing the vision, he would take those people and put them in prison. In 22:10, he says, "What should I do?" He said, "I will be." Many times I persecute them. I ask them to say word to bless me, God. Before he's seeing this vision, he is very powerful. He is moving all the time. I am the sinner of the sinner. Here is the background. After he seen the vision, he stopped. What did he stop? He stopped to do everything. And once he stopped, there is the inner anointing. Outwardly, there's nothing. But internally, there's an inner anointing. There's an inner shining. Before this, we were God's enemy, but we were brought into this feast. Last week, we have 144 verses. This week, we have even more. We have over 240 verses. 26 6. We are saved. We are keeping this feast. And this is our entire life. Right. There's also the first king. They are invading Israelites. I think we don't have the verses here, but they're beating Elijah. Told them, this is not the city, and this I will bring you to Samaria. That was the capital city. They took the enemy into the city, into the capital. Prophet Elijah prayed, "So open your eyes to see." They are in the capital. He said, can I kill them? Elijah said, don't kill them. You bring them under the sword. You need to put a feast in front of them and return them to their master. Then the king prepared the feast for them. Then the king to let them go. I'm sorry. Right, Elijah, he's typified Christ as the ministry of life, as the ministry of grace. He make the enemy becoming the children of God. The children of God. Bring them to Samaria. They did not kill them. He has spread the feast for them. We go back and read the footnotes. And in the New Testament ministry, you feed the enemy. You don't kill the enemy. You bring them into the feast of the New Testament ministry. Many times we sing the hymn that we belong to our husband. We've been brought into the feasting place. We have stopped ourselves. We were enemies to God. Because we become blind, then we be brought into the feast. Then we brought into the salvation of life. This is a very deep revelation. This inner vision will increase more and more. Will revolutionize us. And after the semicolon, this vision will control us to do everything by the Spirit, in our spirit. The revolution, what is the revolution? Turn us from our flesh to spirit, from our individualistic to the body, so we can live according to the body. So we talk about we serve in spirit. We walk by the Spirit. We serve in our spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12:12 and 12:27, talk about the body. We are one with the body. The body of Christ. We need to turn. We need to be revolutionized. We need to turn. Turn to the Spirit and turn to the body. And then point B, for 3 days, Saul did not see anything. And he did not eat or drink. And all he could do was pray. After he'd seen the vision, he stopped everything. And now, we talk about now he prayed. He could only thing he can do is pray. He could do was pray. Pray is also turning. Pray is a turning. Inquire before the Lord. And the Lord said to him, "Rise up, go to the land called Straight." This is Acts 9:11, and told Ananias, you know, everything becomes straight. All the crookedness becomes straight. And sit in the house of Judah, and they behold, he is praying. He is praying. Under the brothers, under the inspiration of an essential spirit, the brother said this, he still only have the essential spirit. He only interest was to pray in order to know the significance of what he had seen and heard. 22:14-15, so that you will, his will, and he's to see the righteous one. Point two, it is likely that as Paul was praying, vision after vision and revelation after vision came to him concerning Christ as the embodiment of God, the mystery of God, and the church as the body of Christ. The mystery of God. There's no a specific reference here, but the brother, he said, it's likely. It is likely. This is what's happening. Colossians 2:2 says, unto the full knowledge of the mystery of God, which is Christ. He have seen this mystery. There are not too many places talk about mystery. But Paul says that the mystery of God is Christ. Ephesians 3 says the mystery of Christ is the church. And then 5:32 says this is a great mystery. This mystery is great. If you look at all three verses, the mystery of Christ, God is Christ. The mystery of Christ is the church. And then the two together, this mystery is great. It's a great mystery. It's Christ and the church. After he's prayed, he can have the full knowledge. He can see. He's seen the light. He heard. Why are you persecuting me? I'm the Jesus. He didn't know what that means. But then when he prayed, he came to understand. There's another opposite example. The king had the dream. He did not understand the dream because his heart was only for himself, for the world. It's not for the Lord. So he had no understanding of this dream, and he forgot about the dream. This is our situation. Sometimes you see something and then you don't even know. Sometimes you sing it and then you forget about it. But then he asked Daniel to interpret. He first asked the magicians to interpret the dream for him. Idol worshippers to interpret the dream for me. You can tell me, if you can tell me your dream, then I can interpret for you. But he cannot even tell them the dream. How can they interpret the dream? You don't have any question, and he want to answer. But there is a spiritual man, Daniel. He not only know the answer, but he also knew the question. He was able to interpret the dream. So when the king he's not like Saul. 3 days, 3 nights, he's there inquiring God, and asking God about what he has seen and heard. Then he has seen the mystery. And the mystery of God is Christ, the mystery of Christ is church, and this Christ in the church is the great mystery. Point three, talk about each crucial point of Paul's vision recorded in Act 9 should not merely be a teaching, should not be objective teaching, but a vision we see on the heavenly television. His vision should become our vision. In point C, then talk about these three words. Me, Jesus, the chosen vessel, bring these three items together and bring out the next three major points. So Roman number 3, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Roman A again. This is a corporate me, comprises Jesus the Lord and all his believers. He is the head, and we are his body, as one person, one new man. Let's read B. Saul, who is also Paul, began to see that the Lord Jesus and his believers are one great person, the wonderful me. To him, this was a unique revelation in the entire universe. Point C. Paul is the only writer of the New Testament to use the term the body of Christ. He placed great emphasis on the body because at that time of his conversion, he heard a message concerning the corporate me, a message concerning the body of Christ. Point D. Immediately after Saul was saved, the Lord began to educate him concerning the body of Christ. Those who see that they are members of the body treasure the body and honor the other members. These three point, talk about the body. We can see this me is talk about the body. It's not just that one person. It's not just Jesus himself. But this me includes Jesus and all his believers. He is the head. All the members are included in this great me. This is a corporate me. It's a new man. This is a new man. In Paul's writing, you saw this term, new man. In Colossians, in Ephesians also, talk about the new man. Talk about the new man. New man is the new seeing, new revelation. Because in New Testament, in Ephesians, talk about church is the body of Christ. Not only you see the body, it's the kingdom, it's the house, but also he is the new man. Saul, seeing the body, which is the new man. He abolished, in 2:15 says, abolishing his flesh, and he has created the two in himself, the one new man. Not only we need to see this objectively, we need to put on the new man in Colossians. Put on the new man. Point B, Saul talk about after the prayer, praying 3 days and 3 nights. This is a wonderful me. This is a great person, wonderful me. To him, this was a unique revelation in the entire universe. And this vision allowed Paul to see the body. Because Saul in Acts 13:9 says, who is also Paul. Amen. He changed his name. 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 12. And in this chapter we know it's emphasizing the body. 12 say, so also is the Christ. So also is the Christ. If the body has many members, so also is the Christ. Which is the Christ. 12:20. Now the members are many, but the body one. No one can be, verse 22, much more, rather the member of the body which seems to be weaker are necessary. 24 says, there are commonly members, there are uncommonly members. It's all in a body. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Talk about we have coordination in the body. In this section, from his epistles, from Paul's epistles, you can see that he know the body. He know the body. Point C, talk about. Not only he knows the body, but he emphasizing the body. Emphasize the body. He's the only writer use the word the body of Christ. Not only have seen it, but he also have such a completing ministry. In Romans 12, it's also talk about the body. One body. We have many members. One body, we have many members. In verse 5, we who are many are one body in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, we know there's so many verses. They all talk about the body. In point D, not only have seen the body, he also know the body. And he emphasized the body. And he treasure the body. Honor the body. The Lord Jesus didn't send James or Peter to Paul, to Saul. Acts 9:6 said, but rise up and enter into the city and you will be told to you what you must do. It's not me telling you, but somebody, some members will tell you. in 9:17, and this person is Ananias, which is a little brother. It's not a big brother. In verse 24 and 25, somebody wanted to kill him. In 25, verse 20, his disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall, lowering him in the basket. This is, he's receiving the help from the body. You know, the Lord didn't give him a miracle, somehow save him, but through the body. Today is no longer a day of miracle, but through the body. He has body conscious. 1 Corinthians 23:24. Those members of body which are considered to be less honorable, that we will close with more abundant honor. Verse 24, our comely members have no need, but God has blended the body together, giving more abundant honor to the member that lacked. 1 Corinthians 16:18, for they refresh my spirit and yours. They refresh and my spirit and yours. Acknowledge therefore such ones. Who are these people? If you go back, it's all very little brothers. There's another Stephen. It's not the same Stephen. We have a lot of Stephens here. There's the one named Putu Nasu. There's so many names. There's so many names we don't never heard of. But this, such ones, even though it's not very significant member, small members, acknowledge therefore such ones. Maybe we come back and review this Roman numeral 3. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? This word is in his prayer, after his prayer. He saw this me. He was persecuting the one calling the name, but he actually persecuting, this is a corporate me. This is a giving him a big turning. See not only just a one individual, but he turned and see this is the body. He see the body. He can see the body is the new man. He see the body. And in B, and this body is this wonderful me, a great me. And he know this body. And then he, in point C, talk about, he's emphasizing the body, the importance of the body. And point 4, he talk about, he treasure and love the body. Amen. And point 4, Roman numeral 4. So Lord, who are you? I am Jesus, whom you persecute. Point A, brothers. Lord here equal to the word Jehovah in Hebrew. Sisters, B. The name Jesus embodies the full message of gospel. Paul saw that Jesus is Jehovah, the Savior, and that as the one who is now in the heavens, he has passed through the process of incarnation, human living, death, resurrection, and ascension for the producing and building up of the body of Christ. See, brothers, Paul saw that Jesus is the very God, Jehovah, who has been processed and consummated with the divine and human elements to be the ascended Lord, the head of the body, and the life-giving spirit, the spirit of Jesus, to be dispensed into all his members. Sisters D, Paul saw that the center of the universe is that Christ is in us and we are in Christ. He saw that God's plan is both to reveal Christ in us as life so that we may live Christ and to put us into Christ so that we may be conformed to his image and build up with others to be his living body for his corporate expression. Amen. There are four points. Lord, who are you? Who are you, Lord? If you know, this is kind of a contradiction. You know he's the Lord. But Saul only knew Jehovah. He didn't know who that was. He was a little perplexed. Lord here equal the word Jehovah in Hebrew. When he said Lord, he's almost calling out, Jehovah, who are you? Who have you become? Because this vision came from the heaven. He knows that's God. He knows it's Jehovah. He's called Jehovah, who are you? What have you become? In this portion, he want to reveal to him that this God has gone through the process. Exodus 3:14, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. Saul, I think, is very familiar with Exodus. And he knows Jehovah means I am who I am. It's self-existence and ever omnipresent. He can be anything you want him to be. In Exodus, is I am who I am. In John 8:58, maybe we read together. John 8:58. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham came into being, I am. Jesus said to them, I am. I am that I am. In Exodus, I am who I am. I am. It's the same speaking. In the God in Exodus is the God in John. Saul, when he said, Lord, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. Then he realized, this Jesus is the great I am. Is this omnipresent God. In this name, he is the great I am. I am who I am. He is ever-existent and everlasting. And this is also revealed, this great, complete gospel. In Romans 9:5 says, who are the fathers and out of whom regarded according to the flesh is Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. Ephesians 1:19-23 talk about the body. He is the head of the body. His church is his body. Become his expression, his fullness. In Matthew 1:21, study the word, the meaning, which is Jehovah, the salvation. He's the salvation. He's the Savior. He's the Savior. Jehovah the Savior or Jehovah salvation. So Jesus is the means. It's a complete gospel. It's wholesome. Not only he saved people from death, from sin, from condemnation, but he also bring man into to build up the body of Christ, becoming his enlargement. This is the complete gospel. It's not just save people, but he would also people would grow, the life will grow, and then become mature. And this gospel is saved to the uttermost, that you become the body of Christ to express him. So not only he is Jehovah the Savior, but also Jehovah the salvation. Point C, Paul saw that Jesus is the very God, Jehovah. The very God, Jehovah. The point A says, Jesus is Jehovah. And second point is, he is the Savior. He is the Jehovah God. Jesus, He also had the element of God, both the divine and human elements, to dispense into all his members. This Jesus is not only just Jehovah, not only the I am who I am. He's not only the Savior or salvation, but he's the first God-man. He is the God-man dispense his life into others, all his members. This is gradually getting deeper and deeper. He's Jehovah, Jehovah Savior, he's Jehovah God, but he's also the one dispense his life into all his members. In point D, he's the center of the universe, and that Christ is in us, and we are in Christ. We can live him. He's no longer an individual Christ. He's an enlarged Christ. Because this Christ is in us, and we are in him, he is in us. And we are blended together. We become the living body for his corporate expression. So this 4 points, the verses, point D, all the verses here. Galatians 1, this portion, talk about Christ is in us. 16, verse 116, to reveal his Son in me. Galatians 2:20, we all know this one. No longer I that live, but it is Christ who lives in me. Not only he's in me, but he lives in me. He lives in me. Then Galatians 4:19, Christ is forming you, not only living in you, he's forming you. Romans 8, Romans 12, talk about we are in Christ. This is a talk about we are in Christ. 8:29, he might conform to the image of his Son. Conformation. 12:2, do not conform, fashion after the age, but will be transformed. And 12:5 talk about as many are one body in Christ, and we are. Galatians talk about Christ is in us. Romans says we are in Christ. How about this is the blending? This is the mingling. This mingling, then there is a the fullness of the expression, which is in Ephesians 1:23. His body, the fullness of the one who fills all in all. The fullness is the expression of the riches. I will review this point four. This Jesus, whom you persecute, Jesus is the Jehovah in the Old Testament. He is the I am who I am. This Jesus, in point B, saying he is the complete gospel. Because his name is Jehovah the Savior, Jehovah the Salvation. Not only redeem us judicially, but he's also gives us an organic salvation. In point C, this Jehovah means, Jesus means Jehovah God. He has gone through the process. He has both divine and human elements. And he is dispensing all this element into his members. And then in point D, talk about this Jesus is a corporate God-man. It's an enlarged God-man. Not only he's in the members, but the members are in him. They are mingled together. And then become the body, becoming the corporate expression. And then I think we'll continue to finish point five, and then we can have some prophesying. Romans 5. Altogether, this man is the chosen vessel to me. Point B, Paul's writing developed the spiritual significance of the word vessel. There's a development. that two small point. Sisters, one, Paul saw that the man is a tripartite vessel to contain and to be filled with Christ as life for the building up of the body of Christ. Brothers, two, the body of Christ is God's great corporate vessel to contain him and be filled with him for his expression. Point C, together. As God's chosen vessel, Paul was converted from everything to Christ himself, converted to call on his name, to suffer on behalf of his name, to bear his name before both the Gentiles and the kings of the sons of Israel. This word vessel. I think probably only Paul used this term. It's a weaker vessel. This is a special term that Paul used the most. This vessel. This man is a chosen vessel to me. And he will proclaim the name. This vessel is for expressing God. God's intention to saving Saul of Tarsus was to fill him with himself and thereby make him an outstanding vessel. He is an outstanding vessel. Saul is an outstanding vessel. Very rare. Why is he so special? There are three verses. Colossians 1:25. I became a minister according to the stewardship of God to complete the word of God. Not many members can complete the word of God. Ephesians 3:8. And to announce to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel. Announce this, the unsearchable riches of Christ. He's the one, he can clearly announce this because no one can do such a job. Then Ephesians 3:9 talk about throughout the ages has been hidden in God the great mystery. To enlighten all. This is something outstanding point. Paul is the outstanding vessel. He was perfected becoming the outstanding vessel. Point B is very important. Not only he was perfected, but he's also perfecting others. He developed the spiritual significance of the word vessel. In point one, he's talk about, Paul saw that man is tripartite vessel to contain and be filled with Christ as life for building up the body of Christ. Every one of us, individually, we all are individual, are vessels. Our spiritual soul and body are individual. We are the vessel to contain God, to fill with God. The point two talk about corporate aspect. Brother Lee wrote a hymn about the great that we and the God-man that becoming the organic body, so we can become His expression. It's a great vessel. The body of Christ is the great vessel. It's a great corporate vessel. Not only individually we are the vessel, but the entire body is also a vessel. Individually, this is not easy to understand the development. There are so many verses here. How does that? What kind of development is this? In Genesis 2:7, you can see Jehovah God formed man. With dust, this is our body, and then breathe into their nostrils the breath of life, and then man became a living So this, we can see the tripartite person here. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. And God of peace himself sanctify you holy, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. We see that we are the vessel. The vessel need to be preserved, need to be preserved complete so it can be his expression. The vessel, the purpose of the vessel is to express him. He keep us, he sanctify us, so that we can be the vessel to express him. In Romans 9:21-23, one does not, the potter has authority over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. And this is continue to go forward in order that he might make known the riches of glory upon vessel of mercy which he had before prepared unto glory. So there's a preparation, there's a cooperation. We can glorify him. Not only he preserve us, we also need to be mercy, under his mercy. We need to prepare ourselves so we can prepare unto glory. In 2 Timothy 20:21, but in a great house there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also wooden and earthen. So some are unto honor and some unto dishonor. If therefore anyone cleans himself from the bait, this, he will be the vessel unto honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared unto every good work. In this three verse portion, we can see the spiritual significance development. In 1 Thessalonians talk about there, we are tripartite man. God will preserve and us complete. In Romans, we need to prepare to be unto glory. In 2 Timothy talk about how do we prepare? We need to cleanse ourselves. So we can be a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful to the master. In 2 Timothy 20:21, talk about we are not just the gold and silver vessels. Gold is signify God, silver and wooden and earthen vessel are the fallen man. We need to cleanse ourselves. We need to escape from our fallen nature. In the footnote, it talk about to be sanctified is a matter of position, and to be not only in nature, we want to be in nature. We also in position. We also in our function. We need to be the good work. It just live out and work out the New Jerusalem. In 1 Thessalonians is the earlier writing of Paul. Romans probably in the middle. The 2 Timothy was pretty much at the end of his ministry, probably in 67 AD. You can see the sequence. He also can see the progression and development of the vessel. This term vessel, this is the development of such a word, spiritual development of the word vessel. In 2 Kings chapter 4, talk about Elijah. Elijah, we talk about his ministry. The two loaves and five bread is very much like the same principle. Just like this widow. Widow can go out and borrow some empty vessels. Empty vessels. Nobody has the empty vessels at home. But We need to be empty out first. Once we're empty out, we can be filled. Then you pour in the oil. Oil is the Spirit, signifies Spirit. We need to be empty vessel. Then He can fill us. Once it's filled, then the oil stopped. This portion, we need to be the empty vessel. He can fill us. Jeremiah 48:11. Moab has been at ease from his youth, and he is settled on his lease, and he has not been empty from vessel to vessel, nor has he gone into exile. Therefore, he takes remain in him, and his descent is not changed. If we are not empty, if we're not empty frequently, then our scent will not change. Our taste will remain. Lord, through our many years, we shouldn't have the taste remain in Him, and the scent is not changed. Paul, not only he is an outstanding vessel, but he's also developed the significance of this vessel. When we see this vessel, we need to be perfected. We need to become preserved, and so that we can become His testimony. In point C, Paul was converted from everything to Christ Himself. Converted Him on His name. Acts 9:14. And he's going out and bind all those who called on His name. He's binding them. When Ananias went to him, asked him to call on the name to be baptized. And rise up and be baptized and wash away. And he is becoming a person. He was one opposing calling, and then he called, and then he instruct others to call. Acts 9:15 says, and to bear my name before both the Gentiles and kings of the sons of Israel. He announced, 9:16, I will show him how many things he must suffer on behalf of my name. This is Paul's vanquishing conversion. This is, he's been converted. Brother and sister, if you go and study these verses, you can see he was initially the one binding those who call the name. He became the caller. And then he also teach others, instruct others to call. And then he also will be suffer on behalf of his name. And this will be a good prophecy. We are God's vessel that we need to be prepared. We need to save ourselves from the both our position, our nature, our qualification, our function, become a vessel. This is all very good prophecy. When we come here and PSRP, it's help us and prepare to do PSRP. So this is for our prophecy. The Roman numeral 3, 4, 5 are center of this message, central to this message. Maybe we will review these 3 points. Maybe we can speak to one another, 2 by 2. In Roman 3, Saul, why are you persecuting me? This me is the body. Paul see the body. He see the body is the new man. It's one corporate person. In point B, he know the body. This body is the great person, the wonderful me. It's not only the head, but the body. And he also emphasized this point about body. He not only see the revelation, but he is also dispensed such a vision to others. In point 4, he also emphasized, but he's also treasure. He loved the body. In Romans 4, talk about, I am Jesus. Jesus, this name means He is Jehovah, God. in the Old Testament. I am who I am. Jesus is the omnipresent, all-inclusive one. Jesus is the Savior, Jehovah Savior. He's also Jehovah the Salvation. And this is the complete gospel. Jesus is also Jehovah God. So that he went through the process and become both have divine and human element. And he can dispense himself into his members. And then we can be mingled with him. And then point five, talk about this man is a chosen vessel. This vessel, Paul himself, is an outstanding vessel to complete the word of God. And he has announced the unsearchable riches of Christ as gospel. He has received the enlightened. He also developed the significant spiritual significance of this word. We individually need to cooperate with him. So this prepare as a vessel, as an honorable vessel, both in our position, in our quality, and in function, we all become the vessel of honor vessel. And he also showed us that he was binding those who call on name by becoming a caller himself, and he instruct others to call. And then he can be perfected and obtained by God, and then become the vessel useful to God. Maybe we can do two by two and speaking to one another. Yeah. Speaking to one another. I think with time is limited, we don't have time. We read the Romans 6 already. The central vision of this is a completing ministry and central vision. This two term, the 3 point, we 3, 4, and 5. Christ is the mystery of God and the church. I think the mystery of God is Christ. The mystery of Christ is the church. This great mystery is Christ and the church. These are the three verses. Let's read Roman point A. Paul's preaching in Acts and his writing and his epistles is the detailed description of heavenly vision seen by him. Point B, together. The Lord appeared to Paul to appoint him as a minister and a witness, both the things in which Paul had seen him and of things in which he would appear to him. Point C, in all the visions that Paul saw, he saw Christ. The things in which we have seen Christ and the things in which he will appear to us are the things we must minister to others. What is the point in this Roman numeral? The central vision. This vision were brought into the ministry, his completing ministry. Point A and B looks very similar. Very similar. Point A talk about Paul's preaching in Acts and his writings and epistles are a detailed description of the heavenly vision seen by him. Point B says, the Lord appeared to Paul to appoint him as a minister and a witness. Maybe we can say in this way, this New Testament ministry, in 2 Corinthians, talk about the ministers and the ministry. Ministry is the work. The point B is talk about ministers. But once we see the vision, we'll bring in the ministry. Not only the ministry, but also produce some ministers. Point C, so in all the visions Paul saw, he saw Christ. The central vision is Christ. In his vision, he has seen is Christ. The center of the vision is Christ. We need to see Christ. We need to the Christ that we have seen and to minister to others. The central point of the vision should be Christ. The Roman numeral 6 talked about, he have seen this vision, he brought out this this ministry. And then have the ministers. Romans 7, the Lord's recovery today is the recovery of the central vision of Paul's completing ministry. This is the completing ministry, the central vision. Today, the Lord's recovery today is the recovery of the central vision of Paul's completing ministry. Still the same three verses. Me, Jesus, and vessel. I think we need to come back to Roman numeral 1 because we haven't covered it. This has something to do with us. He has given us the conclusion, but to us, this should be subjective. It's not only just Paul's vision. Let's read Roman 1. The heavenly vision of Paul's completing ministry must be seen by us, and the vision must be renewed in us day by day. Amen. Amen. We need to see. We need to be renewed. Seeing and renew. Point A and B. How about we pray A and B together, two by two. Point A and point B. The vision of the age will keep us living in God's presence. This vision will uphold us, control us, and become our divine commission to meet the need of this age. Amen. Oh. Amen. Oh, when we see a vision of God's plan and have been converted from everything to Christ Himself, He will be the inner operating God to us, energizing us to carry out His plan. Amen. Keep us. Amen. Brothers and sisters, thank the Lord. Amen. This is what we need. Let's read point A again. The vision of the age will keep us living in God's presence. This vision will uphold us, control us, and become our divine commission to meet the need of this age. These 2 points are very, this vision of the age. Vision, meet the need of this age. This all the vision throughout the ages. Today, what we have seen, the ministry of the age, is to meet the need of this age. And this will keep us living in God's presence. This will uphold and control us and become our commission, divine commission. So we have the divine commission to meet the need. Point B, when we see a vision of God's plan and have been converted from everything to Christ Himself, He will be the inner operating God to us, energizing us to carry out His plan. This is very good writing. We sing the vision. When we see a vision until completing, we need to convert. We need to be converted from everything else to God, to Christ. He is operating. It's the inner operating. We cannot accomplish by ourselves. We need to turn to Him. This is the vanquishing conversion. We all need to be vanquished. We need to be converted so that with His inner operating and His energizing us. These are very important 2 points. We need to pray, read this, enjoy this. In Jeremiah 1, Jehovah said to me, which is Jeremiah, do not say I'm a youth, because Jeremiah was youth, was very young. For everywhere I send you, you shall go, and everything I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their face, for I am with you to deliver you. Jeremiah have seen the vision, then he's been commissioned. But he was very young. He said, I'm young. But in verse 18, he says, and I am now making you today into a fortified city, into an iron pillar, into a bronze wall against the whole land, against the king of Judah, against its princes, against its priests, and against the people of the land. Amen. And they will fight against you, but they will not prevail against you, for I am with you, declare Jehovah, to deliver you. Jeremiah have seen the vision of the age. He has the commission. Then he said, well, I'm too young. I can't. But the Lord says, do not say I'm you. I'm with you always. You will become the iron pillar and bronze wall. In the footnote of the Lord has sent His army. Who is His army? There's only one man, one person, which is Jeremiah. Sometimes we try to see the numbers. But when the Lord wants to do something, even a young Jeremiah, I want make you into a fortified city. And he can fortify the city and fight against the people of the land. Once we have the vision, we have seen the vision, we will be kept in His presence. He will control and uphold us. And then to meet the need of this age. In Isaiah 6:1-8, talk about Isaiah. Isaiah, in the years of the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting in a high and lofty throne. He saw a vision. Then, I'm the one unclean lips. I live in the midst of the people of unclean lips. I dwell. Yes, my eyes sing you, King. In verse 7, he touched my mouth and it and said, now this has been touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away. How about 6:8? Let's read together. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. Amen. In verse 1 says, I've seen the vision. In verse 8, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And he said, it is a triune God. It says one, sometimes singular, sometimes plural. And I said, here am I, sent me. Once you've seen it, you are commissioned. You receive the commission. This vision will keep us and become our commission, our divine commission. This vision has a function, will uphold us, will control us. The point B says, when we see a vision of God's plan, we will have a process. We can say here is a subjective experience. Point A is more objective. Point B more relate to our experience. When we see the vision, then we convert, then we repent, then we turn to Christ, then He will be in there operating in us. He energizes us. Carry out His plan. And carry out His plan. How about 1 Corinthians 15:10? But by the grace of God, I am that I am. But the grace of God, which is with me. It's not we can do. In Jeremiah 1, talk about the operating God is energizing us to complete His plan. The verse 5 says, to the end, I have anointed you as the prophet to the nations. Verse 6, I say, Alas, Lord Jehovah, indeed, I do not know how to speak, for I am a youth. I cannot be commissioned to do this. Verse 8 says, Do not afraid of their faces, for I am with you. 1:10 says, See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and tear down, to build up and to plant. He will be the one energizing us so that we can complete His plan, carry out His plan. Point C, altogether, eventually, the opposing Saul became, in his victorious ministry of the gospel, Christ vanquished the captive in the triumphant procession, celebrating Christ's victory over all his enemies. The Lord's perfecting of his chosen vessels in such a way is excellent and marvelous. This vision eventually has a real example of Paul. Paul was opposing Saul. He became the vanquished captive in the triumphant procession. He spread the fragrance, and he has this victorious ministry of the gospel. Amen. And the Lord's perfecting of His chosen vessel is such a way is excellent and marvelous. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Let's read together. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in a triumph in the Christ, and manifests the Savior of the knowledge of Him through us in every place. May this week we all experience. We see the vision. We will see what Paul has seen. We see this vision and be vanquished, be captive. We can see the ministry of the age, the vision of this age. And then we can meet the need of this vision. So when we see this vision, we repent, we be converted, and then we are under His anointing, energizing to carry out His plan. There are some verses for this week. In addition to the three verses, we really need to memorize. We also need to, for the opening brothers, it's verse Philippians 3:7 in day one. These two verses is very we are being vanquished. But what things that gain to me? What things were gains to me that I have counted as a loss? This is a comparison. Not only so, I also count all things. Moreover, I also count all things to be lost on account of excellency of knowledge of Christ. We have the vanquished conversion. And day three, and day four, Colossians 1:25-26. I became a minister according to the stewardship of God, which was given to me for you to complete the word. Complete the word of God, the ministry. This is a completing ministry and the mystery of the hidden in the ages, which is the central vision of the central of the vision. And day six, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Let's read together. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Amen. I think our time is up, but maybe someone to share, have some sharing. Amen.